You know, at one level, the readings today, if you look at all of them, they're directed to the unworthy shepherds, the wicked shepherds who mislead and scatter the flock. And this is said here, you know, woe to those shepherds who mislead and scatter the flock of my pasture. He goes on to say they're going to get a severe punishment. See. But then Jesus, of course, shows what is a good shepherd, someone who sees the great need of the people, in this case, for they were hungry for truth. They were hungry for the Lord's mercy. And too many of their religious leaders didn't give them this. They were either absent or teaching error or any number of things. And, you know, things have not always changed, my friends. They have not always changed. And so we see that at one level, this particular call, if you will, of the Lord to shepherds again to regard well the flock. And we've been through a lot in the church, and we know that there have been indeed some wicked shepherds, wicked priests, who have done indeed wicked things. And so that's at the big level what this is about. But what I want to do today, because we'll develop this theme in future Sundays about the wicked shepherds. But what I want to do with you today is, first and foremost, to look at a foundation for anyone who would be a good shepherd. Now, when I say shepherd, you know, sometimes we only think of clergy. But again, if you're a parent, you have children to shepherd. Sometimes it's just the fact that you're a grandparent or an elder. We all have some shepherding roles for people in our lives. And so the first thing I guess to say to all of us is that there is a particularly important understanding of the foundation that we need to have for prayer. So I would offer to you today four, if you will, descriptions or recipes for personal prayer. This is what we're doing today is liturgical prayer, group prayer. We're here together. But personal prayer has some different qualities about it that we should seek to cultivate. And among those things would be, first of all, there is this peace that comes with prayer. And let's start with the praise that is prayer. You notice again the way this gospel begins. It says that the 12 had returned. See, Jesus had sent them out two by two to the neighboring villages. And they had come back and they said, Lord, you know, even demons are subject to us in your name. I mean, we preached the gospel. People were hungry for your word. And Lord, it was just astonishing the blessings that we experienced and received. And so Jesus indeed receives this praise. And so the first thing we notice as they return to the Lord is they give him praise. They express to him gratitude. And when we pray in our personal prayers, I don't know if you've noticed, but, you know, the Our Father begins with this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You know, Lord, your name is holy. You're great. You're glorious. Like we said in the Gloria today, we love you. We adore you. We praise you. We glorify you. We give you thanks just because you're so great, for your great glory. And so we praise God and we say thank you for all you've done in my life. Even some of those gifts and strange packages, all right? Some of those gifts, all right. So, as we see, there is a beginning of praise. You know, just make sure that you kind of blend this in a little bit because, you know, there's a tendency for us, if we're not careful, to give God a headache. You know, I mean, we go to the Lord, you know, it says, wow, you know, is it really that bad? What about the air I gave you to breathe? You know, what about the lungs that breathe the air? what about, you know, all the blood? So again, we're going to sometimes focus. Thank you. We're going to sometimes focus on our problems, but don't forget to praise him. All right. Cause you know what? I'm going to just tell you something, that even your problems are sometimes gifts in a strange package. Because we learn a lot from our sufferings, and it helps us to keep humble. You know, I, I got gifts and you got gifts, but, you know, if we didn't have something to keep us humble, we'd all be so proud we'd just go to hell, you know. And so somehow, even in the difficulties of life, you know, there are hidden blessings. So again, we go and we thank God, we praise Him for all the things that are good. Every day, 10 trillion things go right and a few things go wrong. And just be careful that you don't miss the color purple, you know. That's a great gift of God, isn't it? You've heard me on this before, but, you know, there were two women walking. I'll just shorten and say that one of them was upset and angry with God. The other was joyful. And the one who was upset, they're walking through a field where the lilacs are in bloom. And the one says to the other, I'm angry with God. The other says, you're angry with God. Well, I think God gets angry with us when we walk through a field and misses the color purple. Missing the color purple. And so you see, don't miss the beautiful things, you see. Too often we're all bent over with negativity. All right. So the first thing you'll notice is that our personal prayer should always begin with just, I thank you, I praise you. I'm going through some difficulties now. We'll talk about that. But the first thing I want to do, Lord, is I want to thank you. I want to thank you. Okay. So we also see then that there's a peace that comes with personal prayer. A peace. So you see, they've come back. They're all excited. They're joyful. They're even frantic with excitement. And the Lord says, great. Now, come aside and rest a while. Come aside and rest a while. Now, there's a picture of prayer here that a lot of us can easily miss if we're not careful. After all this activity, the Lord says, it's time to rest. It's time to rest. And, they, you know, as you see from the gospel, there's all these people coming and going. They even don't even have time to eat. There's so much activity. And so the only place they could get alone was to go out on the lake in a boat. You know, the crowds are off on the shore saying, where's he sailing? Where's he going? But meanwhile, they got a little time to rest, a little time to be alone together. This is a picture of prayer. You see, too many of us, when we think of prayer, we kind of think it as, you know, one more thing to do. You know, I got to get the kids to the soccer match. I got to get to the store. I got to buy this. You know, I got to finish a project for work, and I got to pray. And so you see, this is it's just one more list on the to-do list, okay? And I would say to you that that's a misunderstanding of what prayer ought to be. Prayer is a refraining from activity. It's to step aside and just sit quietly with the Lord. Now, in the liturgical prayers, we have activity, we sing, we praise. That's group prayer. But in private prayer, I would encourage you to really think of it as just a little time. Even if it's just 10 minutes, I pray it can be more for you, but even if it's just 10 minutes at the beginning or the end of the day, where you just sit down and, as I used to say, chill. You don't have to say a lot or do a lot, just take a little time with you, Lord, where I need to rest spiritually. And reflect. You've been good to me, Lord. I have some concerns, Lord. But I thank you, Lord. Just spend a little time just not doing stuff. And the phone rings or something occurs to you, it can wait 10 minutes. Can it? Really? You have to really pick that phone up? I might miss something. You know? Yeah, you might. Not usually. All right. So you see, it's this time, you know, spend a little time to kind of make your prayer a kind of a respite. If you pray in the morning, have a cup of coffee with the Lord. There's no rules against that. You can't have coffee with the Lord. Well, he had coffee with them. Or in the evening, you know, I'm not going to push the stuff, but I'm just going to say, if you want to have a glass of wine with the Lord, you know. I mean, he drank wine. He made wine. The best vintner of all, right? Now, I'm not pushing the stuff. I'm just saying that, you know, see your prayer time as something you look forward to and something that you enjoy. Have a little corner or a place in the house that's relatively quiet and go there. Spend time with the Lord. And you don't have to have a big agenda. You sit there and wag your foot. Just say, it's me again, Carlito, you know? Hey, Lord, help! But a little time to spend with the Lord. You know, the other thing, there was just a couple of stories that are funny. You know, some people say the only place I can go in the house to be alone is the bathroom. Yeah. Well, I'd be careful where you sit, but I would just say that there, if that's where you got to go, go there. There was another spiritual director of mine many years ago. He said, the only place I can go is we have a large master closet, and all those clothes hanging in there make it so quiet that I can even hear my own heart beating. And he goes into the closet to pray. He said, great, you know, but find a place, set up a little corner, maybe a little spiritual reading and a little table there. And if you need to have coffee or a little glass of wine or just a favorite, you know, beverage of something, it's okay. You're just spending time with the Lord. And I don't know if you noticed, but if you read the Gospels, he liked to eat and he liked to drink. Well, I don't mean drink like go to a bar, but you know what I'm saying. He was, and so again, Not a huge amount of rules. Number one rule, show up. It's always the number one rule. Just show up, right? But if you find it enjoyable, you get around to it. You see what I'm saying? And so we find time for things that we enjoy. And if that's the case, then make prayer something enjoyable. Again, even if it's just 10 minutes a day, take time and say, Lord, it's me. Just checking in. Because, you know, if we don't do that, we start running around frantically, putting out fires, running after all these urgent things, and we forget things that are important. You know, not everything that says it's urgent is urgent. A lot of it can wait. All right. So there is this peace that's meant to come from personal prayer. It's not just one more thing on your already lengthy list of things to do. It's a time to refrain and just go before the Lord and experience his love. So there's the practice of praise-filled prayer. There's the peace of personal prayer. There's also then the primacy of prioritized prayer. Now, what I mean by primacy is literally first. So prayer should precede activity. You'll notice again, Jesus knows there's a big crowd waiting for them on the other side of the lake. They're already lining up saying, where are they going to dock? They're all on the coast looking. He knows that, and he knows they're going to be busy when they get there. So he says, first, rest. First, pray. Now, this also comes down to a way the ancient Jews saw life very differently than we do. They thought that the day began at sundown. We think it begins at sunup. But for them, the day would begin at sundown. So, for example, every Sabbath, when did it begin? At dawn on Saturday? No, at sundown on Friday. Even to this day, those Jews who are observant, they keep the Sabbath holy starting at 6 p.m. on Friday through, you know, the evening on Saturday. All right. So the day begins with sundown. In other words, the first thing you do in any day is that you rest. And then you go out to do whatever your work is. Number one, rest. Number two, work. And so you see that this is an image for prayer, that prayer should have this kind of primacy for us. And I'm not telling you that you have to pray in the morning. I'm just saying that you ought to see prayer as something that precedes all the activities and things that you might want. You might even actually talk to the Lord. You know, I've been asked by that stupid pastor to do something more. And what should I say, Lord? Tell him no. But there's just this time to go and peacefully be with the Lord and spend time. And it should be a priority, a primacy, if you will. And so again, the Lord, he can see across the lake. He knows there's a lot of work waiting for him. But right now, it's time to rest. It's time to pray and relax. Catch your breath. And then when we go to that shore, we'll have the energy and the charity to help them, okay? So there's a picture of prayer here in this primacy of prioritized prayer. And finally, we come to the power of pious prayer. Finally, then, coming ashore, he sees Jesus. He sees a great crowd. And he pities them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he taught them at great length. Now, first of all, let's recapture this word pity. I think many of you have heard me on this, but the word pity in English comes, of course, comes across poorly in the sense that it tends to sound condescending or looking down. Whereas the original Greek and Latin word, the Greek word is storge or storge, and the Latin word is pietas. You've seen the Pietà, or you've at least seen of it in pictures in Rome, where Mary is holding the dead body of her son on her lap. And it's called the Pietà. It means family love. This is that intimate love of family, see. And so Jesus, when it says he looks on them with pity, the word here is that understanding, not a condescension or looking down on these poor slobs, you know, anything like that. It seems, these are my brothers. It's a brotherly family love. These are my brothers. These are my sisters. And I care about them. And I'm grieved that their own shepherds have left them so bereft of any hope, of any teaching, of any meaning. They flocked to him because their own shepherds had largely either abandoned them or thought that the only thing they needed to do was remind them of all the stickler rules about the Sabbath day or what have you. And they were left. They were hopeless. They were like sheep without a shepherd, as the text says. And looking upon them with that family love, he says, I will preach to them, see. So this rest has helped our Lord just in terms of his humanity to be rested and able. You know, when we're tired, it's harder to love. It's harder to do everything when we're tired. Except sleep. Well, I don't know about you. I've gotten so tired that I can't sleep. Have you ever had that happen? Isn't that frustrating? You know? Says, all right. But anyway, but there comes this. They've prepared for this moment. The apostles are now well rested, and so is Jesus. And they come to this great crowd, and he's now, after having a rest, is able to, if you will, engage them and teach them at great length. And again, this is the power of prayer. What prayer is meant to equip, empower, and enable us to do is to have greater love for one another, because we've been in the presence of the Father who is Father to us all. How much he loves us that he sent his Son. And then he sheds this love on us and gives us some peace and prepares us to do the work that he's called us to do. And so today, some pictures of prayer, just a quick review and we're done. There's the practice of praise-filled prayer. Go to the Lord every day and say, I got some problems, Lord, but you know what? I got you. And I'm awful grateful. And even these things are rough. I understand somehow you permit them now for a reason and for a season. But I want you to know I love you, Heavenly Father. I praise you. Jesus, I love you. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. Oh, Holy Spirit, the great principle of love within me. I adore you. I praise you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything. So we praise, the practice of praise-filled prayer, the peace that comes from personal prayer, at getting aside and resting a while. See prayer that way. See it is what prayer really is, resting for a little while with the Lord. And then, of course, again, there is the primacy. Make sure that it's really the first thing in your life. Whether you do it in the morning or the evening is not the point. But the point is that it's a central thing. It's kind of the axis on which everything else in your life pivots. And then finally, again, there's the power. Having rested, spent time with the Lord, soaking up some of the rays of his love, we're equipped, empowered, and enabled to do whatever he's asked us to do. All right. Some images of prayer. Okay, maybe just to return to that one theme while I quote an old song. You know, there's that peace. That prayer is that place of peace, that place of rest, that place of refraining from lots of frantic things where nothing else is going to interrupt. And there's just that old song that says, oh, sweet hour of prayer. That calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. Oh, in seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return. Oh, sweet, sweet hour of prayer. And so again, some pictures of prayer today. These things equip, enable us to be good shepherds. Because all of us who are, at least those of us who are a little older, you know, we have a shepherding role. It's not just priests and deacons and bishops and so on. It's all of you. If you're parents, your elders, we all have shepherding roles. So, you want to be a good shepherd. Some important teachings on prayer. You got to be a person of prayer first if you're going to really be a good shepherd. And then the Lord will say, here's what you need to do. He'll give you the grace. So, sweet hour of prayer. Just somebody say amen.